Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, ladies and gentlemen, is indeed the broadcast for September the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. How are we going to get this done? A good, honest, moral people with the checks and balances under God can get anything done, folks. Welcome to the broadcast. We have one of the most positive outlooks you've ever seen on the radio. We provide more solutions in the Liberty Roundtable Live think tank than anybody on the planet, and it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. A quick recap of yesterday's news ought to set the stage for hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use today. Ready? It starts now. Liberal media claims that Donald Trump's DACA decision is racist, but fake news in the media completely ignores the simple fact that the program is illegal. I repeat, illegal. Unconstitutional, and it's abusive usurpation by former President Barack Hussein. Irma continues to churn its way towards Florida, causing death and horrible destruction everywhere it goes. In the Northern Caribbean Sea, it trashed all kinds of places. Puerto Rico without power. I mean, it's just crazy what's going on. Dead people, carnage everywhere. The Puerto Rican government said significant parts of the island may be without power for up to 6 months. At least 70 deaths in Texas have now been attributed to Hurricane Harvey as well. So you got Harvey and Irma going on. President Trump struck a deal with Democrats. The goal to raise the debt ceiling. Disaster by President Trump. Provide Hurricane Harvey relief. I reject the government doing that at all. I support the relief efforts, but just not by force. Not only that, keep the government funded until December, creating a Christmas showdown. What a disaster Barack broke with the Republicans. But again, I told you Donald was the betrayer, ladies and gentlemen.
You said Barack broke.
Barack Trump did broke. Too, I guess, right, Kurt? But yeah, your point's well taken. Point. Anyway, I meant Trump. Kurt's right. But Barack did the same thing. As did presidents from both sides of the aisle for literally decades upon decades. But the bottom line is Trump melting down. They say he's going to his base. Boy, is that true. He's been a Democrat, liberal his whole life. And now he struck a deal with the Democrats. They're all giddy. The Republicans are angry. Rand Paul looks to pay for Harvey relief by using cuts to foreign aid. Not my favorite solution, but one of the best floated so far. Obamacare's individual market is near collapse. Premiums are rising, and insurers are flat out leaving the marketplace, according to insurance commissioners. That was our One of Liberty Roundtable Live. Still available online, on demand at your fingertips, free, libertyroundtable.com. Hour two, the Southern Poverty Law Center has $69 million parked overseas. The civil rights group, best known for its, quote, hate map, has money literally deposited all over the globe, including the Cayman Islands, the British Virgin Islands, not to mention Bermuda. It goes on and on. They have literally hundreds of millions of dollars at their disposal. Georgia teacher goes ballistic on students wearing, quote, pro-Trump T-shirts. School district melts down, apologizes for teacher. The teacher compared the Trump T-shirts to the Nazis and to the swastika. But anyway, everybody's melting down over all that. Obama is the most expensive ex-president in U.S. history, and he wants more taxpayer money. Whose fault is that? I submit to you that it's the House of Representatives' fault. They're the ones that control the purse strings. At least they're supposed to, if you follow the supreme law and the appropriate checks and balances there contained in, right? We talked about a question. Did Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore take money? $1 million from a charity that he ran? Well, the answer is they're trying to float that lie out there. He did get paid a little bit of money for his services, but it was over many, 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 many years. And they lie and they manipulate and they try to plant this false seed of impropriety in your mind about Judge Roy Moore. It's bogus. It's a lie. Don't fall for the fake news, folks. Mark Meadows endorses former judge, now Senate candidate Roy Moore in Alabama Senate race. We pray Judge Roy Moore wins. By the way, there's a new poll out saying that Judge Roy Moore has a commanding lead, double-digit lead over establishment candidate backed by Trump, strange enough, Luther Strange. Apple's bonds are acting more and more like government debt. Wow. Are you surprised? We're trying to go all in. Chocolate company Mars pledges literally, $1 billion to fight climate change? That'll be helping the folks in the hurricanes. But nevertheless, there you go, the chocolate company melting down. That's tragic but true. And that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday, available on demand at Liberty Roundtable Live. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kirk Crosby with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Should we start out with kind of an interesting twist, positive news story?
Sure.
All right. Well, I don't know if you know who Harvey and Irma Schroeder are, Kurt. Do you know who those guys are?
Harvey and Irma. Those
or
are Schroeder? Hurricanes.
S-C-H-L-U-T-E-R.
I didn't know he gave her last name now.
Well, no, Kurt. This is actually a couple, a man and a wife. And they have a last name. And his name's Harvey. His name's Irma, Kurt.
Harvey and Irma.
Yes. And they were shocked when the hurricanes were named after them. Well, not really. The hurricanes were named after the pattern of using the letters in the alphabet, etc. But it just turned out that the latest two hurricanes were named Harvey and Irma. And it just turns out this couple's name is Harvey and Irma Schluter. And they've been married, Kurt, for 75 years. Now, this guy, Harvey, turned 104 in July, and his wife turned 93 in November. And they say they've seen a lot in the world, and they go through a lot that they've seen. And they were, you know, he met her when she was 16 years old in high school or whatever, fell in love with her, were smitten. She says, he conned me into marrying him, and it's been one of the best things in my life. Anyway, they've been together for a long time, Kurt. So I just kind of, don't really think the names Harvey and Irma are, very popular because of the death and destruction in the wakes of the hurricanes, the natural disasters, I believe, by God. But nevertheless, there's a little redeeming when you think of Harvey and Irma. Well, with a 75-year loving marriage, Kurt, to point to. And they're happy to be together, and they're grateful they're out of the hurricanes, Kurt. What do you think
all
that?
That's pretty cool. I was looking at their picture. I guess over the years, they say the couple have fostered over 120 children, had two of their own. That's according to the spokesman review. They cute little couple, I think. They say when they said, I do, Franklin D. Roosevelt was president of the United States. The cost of a new car was $920. Yeah.
Boy, wow. Howdy, has it gone up since due to fake money and inflation, huh, Kurt?
Sam, it's interesting. I mean, I've got my iPhone just sitting right here, wasn't touching it at all. And so somehow it's like listening to me, I guess. And
of
so
course
it hears
is,
me
Kurt.
Say Franklin D. Roosevelt. So then she starts talking to me.
Yeah, she wants to read you a wiki article on Franklin, buddy. She's just trying to help out. What, you got a problem with that?
Yeah, but I didn't even touch her or tell her to do anything.
Can she, be at your beck and call and everything if she doesn't anticipate some of your expectations, Kurt? Now you're going to say it wasn't my expectation. I know, but she's just learning, Kurt.
It's the NSA is working on, listening to everything I say.
Well, of course. They got to have multiple devices, multiple microphones, multiple recordings. That way, when they take you to court and sue you and shut you down over some criminal activity that you're engaged in, which you're sure to commit, then they can have the record to prove their point, Kurt. You're not all right with that?
Well, anyway, back to
the Kurt,
story.
If you don't commit any criminal activity, it'll never be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. What are you worried about?
That's what I'm talking about. Are you suggesting that you're doing something wrong, Kurt?
Anyway.
See how that trap works? It's just a big old lie, folks.
That is
dangerous.
That's
what they're backing into against every one of us. Just
saying. Had their 75th wedding anniversary, Sam, and I guess they say many of those foster children still call them mom and dad.
Wait a minute. They loved foster children and wanted man, I don't know what's up with those guys. Good for them.
Wow.
Quick pause. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I guess an 8.2 earthquake hit Mexico last night. And now tsunami warnings have been issued for Mexico and several Central American nations after a massive 8.2 magnitude earthquake hit off Mexico's southern coast just before midnight Thursday. In other words, last night, Kurt. So now you got earthquake in Mexico that's massive. The president says tons of damage. The biggest earthquake that's hit them since, over a century, they say. Now you got a massive earthquake in Mexico. You've got tsunami warnings for several countries. You've got Harvey just finished, Irma cranking up, and you've got devastation everywhere, Kurt. Do you want to respond to this?
Well, the nice thing about all that, Sam, is a lot more people will be praying, returning to their God, going to church, you know, doing all that kind of stuff.
You think so?
Well, I'm just saying that's what happens in tough times, you know, and it would be nice if we'd all just do what we should all the time, but
fat chance of that.
Reminders, it seems like.
Anyway, our prayers are with the folks in all these different storms. The amount of devastation that can happen by Mother Nature is just beyond comprehension, and I think we need to pray for those who are suffering. I think we need to roll up our sleeves and get involved to the best we can. And now a bunch of former presidents are getting together along with Donald Trump, and they're raising money and stuff like that. It's good news, Kurt, I think.
Yeah, it looks like on that earthquake thing, they say it was 60 miles off the southern coast of Mexico, southwest of the town of, well, anyway, I'd try to say it, but I can't even tell what word that is. They say...
It's a Spanish word, Kurt.
Yeah, well, it doesn't look like Spanish to me, but anyway.
No, Kurt, you got to debate what Spanish is. See, the natives there were kind of like Indian and... other native
point.
Things all mixed together with kind of a Spanish something word, and like is Utah
they say
English?
They felt it. Yeah, well, good point. That they said they felt it across Mexico. Good point. And as far as Austin, Texas, that was 1,300 miles from the epicenter.
There you go.
The strongest quake, like you say, to hit the capital since, well, here's what it says, since a 1985 tremor flattened swaths of Mexico City and killed thousands. That doesn't seem like a century to me, 1985.
Well, we got to look up how big the one was then versus one. And this, as far as I understand, this is the biggest one in the century, although understand that it wasn't like the epicenter wasn't in the middle of a big city, so it may not do as much destruction. Or, you know, how bad it is in relative to what's that Richter scale they use and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So now we're debating the Richter scale versus how much damage is done and, you know, that kind of debate.
They say a million are left without power. And then, like you say, about the tsunami.
Yeah, so time will tell on all that, Kurt. We'll keep an eye on that ball just for you. But our prayers are with those folks. Now, this is an interesting story from WorldNet Daily, WND.com. And the interesting thing about this story is the mainstream press was all too willing to attack Donald Trump when Donald said, man, vote fraud's going on. I don't think I lost the popular vote to Hillary like they're claiming. And the mainstream press mocked and jeered and laughed. And, well, then Donald put together a commission to look into it. And they said, oh, my gosh, Donald's really off his rails now. Headline, new evidence backs Donald Trump's vote fraud claim. Now, there's evidence backing the Donald from several places, Kurt. Not just one place, several places. And the mainstream press strangely silent on the issue. Now, the fake news peddlers tried to attack the Donald. Donald withstood their abuses. And now the truth starts to come out. We were celebrating this fraud commission because we believed there was vote fraud. We've been reporting on vote fraud for 25 years. Donald finally articulated it from the highest office of the land, and now the truth starts to come out. But the fake news folks aren't telling you this detail, Kurt, but WND.com is, and good for them. Do you have details on this piece, Kurt?
Well, yeah, the author there is Art Moore, and you know, they basically say the discovery that more than 6,000 people used out-of-state driver's licenses to vote in New Hampshire last November bolsters Donald Trump's claim he lost the state because thousands of Massachusetts residents came in to vote. Ooh. Trump claimed in February that out-of-state voters tipped the New Hampshire election both against him and incumbent Republican Senator Kelly Ayotte. I don't know for sure if that's how you say her last name. It's Ayotte. The Boston Globe at the time dismissed his allegation as groundless. But the article continues, says the vast majority of the 6,000 voters have neither obtained an in-state license nor registered a motor vehicle since the November vote. That's according to an inquiry by Republican Speaker of the New Hampshire House, Sean Jasper. That's also according to the Washington Times. Now, Hillary Clinton defeated Trump in New Hampshire by 2,736 votes, while Democrat Senator Maggie Hassan defeated Ayotte by 1,017 votes. Those are pretty slim margins. The records from the Department of State, which oversees elections, and the Department of Safety show 6,540 people voted using out-of-state licenses.
But this is how we always talk about vote fraud, Kurt. A lot of people believe that, you know, vote fraud, they'll just do these massive changes. And they don't do that because they'll get caught.
No.
What they do is they manipulate these close elections, so there's really not a whole lot to find Well, in this reality check, they found the pay dirt in this little influential manipulation. You don't have to have too many people to move the needle. You got to find out where the voting is closest. Then you got to commit slight fraud that's hard to detect within these things. And without this presidential commission that the Trumpster has put together on this, Kurt, you wouldn't even know. But anyway, they got this going on in Colorado, in New Hampshire, in so many states now. The problem is most of the states aren't cooperating, Kurt. You want to know why? Because they know you're going to find flat-out vote fraud due to illegal aliens. That's why.
Yep.
The bottom line is the proof is in the pudding. Multiple sources now, credible sources, backing Donald Trump's claim, turning it into reality, huh, Kurt?
Well, that's right, Sam. I guess,
any other tidbits that are important on that piece?
In last March, the Ohio Secretary of State, John Husted, announced that his office had identified an additional 385 non-registered citizens, non-citizens registered to vote in Ohio, 82 of whom have been identified as having voted in at least one election. It brings the total number of non-citizens on Ohio's voter rolls that he has been able to identify using available resources to 821, with 126 having actually cast ballots.
Now, what they want to do, Kurt, and this is why they make the fraud so little, so low that it's hard to detect, because then when they come back and they say, well, that's not really intentional vote fraud, Kurt. That's just a voter irregularity. Mm-hmm. And they'll use these kind of softening words to really reduce vote fraud to a mere minor infraction, Kurt. Unintended, mm-hmm. of course, don't you know? Nevertheless, they change the outcomes of elections in the United States of America.
Well, that's right. And you look at that deal in New Hampshire that we just read about, where the where it basically had Trump lose the state, so then Hillary got the electoral votes. And it also had the senator be a Democrat instead of a Republican. And now, you know, you've heard me many times, ladies and gentlemen, say it's tough to tell the difference, but maybe, just maybe, that, you know, individual would have voted a little bit more in favor of things like eliminating the Obamacare deal or whatever. But, you know, the bottom line is we just want the votes the way they're supposed to be.
Well, there's only one way to get that done, Kurt, and that is paper ballots that are locally counted with transparency. In other words, having vote watchers from all camps, you know, put a panel of vote watchers together and let, you know, people come in and watch the vote and see that it's counted and then turn in the numbers and then report the numbers locally to where you've got track of all that. Right now with these vote fraud machines and centralized voting and foreign companies controlling the votes and all these different things, there's no way to have accountability and integrity of the vote.
Well, and, you know, Sam, it's amazing to me. We've got these cameras that are watching us all over the place. I mean, just about anywhere you go, you got a camera. But why couldn't we have cameras basically filming?
Because you detect vote fraud.
The
That's
counting
why.
Of the votes.
I mean, what do you think?
And making sure that we had the accuracy.
You got to watch Kurt all the time. Cool. But you can't watch that his vote makes it through custody, you know, ballot custody, if you will, securely. That'd, you know, detect vote fraud, and then they wouldn't be able to manipulate the elections, and then good, honest people would get elected, and they might actually, like, vote honest money back in or something. I mean, it would be crazy, Kurt. Just imagine the accountability, integrity, and the economic benefits that might have. Could you imagine?
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The group Reporters Without Borders, an independent group of journalists that monitors and reports on attempt to intimidate and influence members of the media around the world, has issued a scathing report about the nation of Iran. The Iranian government apparently is using spies, often posing as journalists themselves, to blackmail and threaten reporters and their families in order to get better coverage of the regime. In fact, over 50 international journalists have been threatened so far. Months ago, the brutal terrorist leaders of ISIS issued instructions to followers to start using cars and trucks as weapons by driving them into crowds of innocent people. Many dutiful jihadists did as they were told and executed deadly attacks, as we know, in various European cities with horrendous consequences. Now ISIS has issued a new set of orders instructing followers to start injecting food and groceries with cyanide. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low-delay, crystal-clear audio over the Internet. AudioCompass.com.
There is a place you can go to get up to speed quickly on all the stories that matter to freedom-loving people. GovernAmerica.com features news and commentary about Agenda 21, technocracy, the economy, border violence, and more. Go to GovernAmerica.com. That's GovernAmerica.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, there's three main credit reporting agencies in the world: Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. And it looks like Equifax Inc. is one of the largest of the three. And they have acknowledged that up to 143 million customers in the United States have had their information stolen in a massive cyber attack. They've had their information stolen. This includes names, addresses, birth dates, social security numbers, and driver's license numbers. The company reports that the breach occurred between May and the end of July. Now, they say the stock in the company is crashing over this, and many people are wondering about the security safety of their data with other, quote, credit reporting companies. And believe it or not, when all this went down before we found out about it, three senior Equifax officials sold shares of the stocks after the breach worth almost $108 million in the days after the security intrusion was detected.
What I'm seeing, it says $1.8 million.
Oh, only $1.8 million?
Well, it says Bloomberg News reported.
Yeah, I guess 1.8 million. Yep.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, 1.8 million in the days after the breach, but before, of course, they reported.
Before it, they so, say, before the security intrusion was detected, I don't know if you believe that. Equifax released a statement saying, of course, they didn't know about the breach at the time they sold it. I'm just saying, how convenient.
Yeah.
I don't know the truth, right? But all I can tell you is strange stuff going on. And all I can tell you is this, Kurt, several points about this. You know that I happen to be somewhat of a, you know, technological expert here. And you know that we've had other security experts on the radio with us, Tim Starks, to name one. And you know that we've been telling you these cyber attacks are going to continue. There's no way to prevent them. They put so many things, it's called the Internet of Things, if you will. And you know what? You literally can have so many connected devices that you can hack anything through anything else almost. There's no way to stop it all. We don't have the security in place. The internet wasn't built with security in mind, and they put more and more and more and more and more information on the internet. There's just no way to stop these breaches. So all I'm telling you is, if you think that this is the end of it all, I'm telling you right now, it hasn't begun. It hasn't begun. You have no idea. I mean, pretty soon it'll be like, hey, man, they hacked the internet through somebody's waffle iron that was left on too long. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm telling you right now, everything is being connected to the internet. Security is being set aside. Why these big companies are gathering our information like this to this degree in the first place is in question. But you literally have names, addresses, birth dates, social security numbers, and driver's licenses all in a single database by one of these three kingpin credit agencies, and they got hacked. And now everybody's at risk. Don't worry, though. The company says they'll go ahead and help you pay for a plan to get this cleaned up, Kurt, and help you. But the point is, the horse is already out of the barn,
buddy. And
they sell
the plan.
No, they don't sell the plan. Somebody else does.
Well, I mean, they probably got some stock in it. But anyway, they're based out of Atlanta. I guess, Sam, they say, according to the company's website, they operate in 24 countries. They've got access to the data of more than 820 million consumers, along with data for 91 million businesses. That's pretty good batch of information.
Yeah, so what do you say about that, Kurt? I say it's no surprise. It's expected, and expect more of it. Write it down and remember who told you first. I've been telling you this for literally years, Kurt.
I'm into that. Senator Mark Warner, he's a Democrat of Virginia. He is the co-founder of the Senate Cybersecurity Caucus.
Well, that co-founder's failed at his caucus because he hasn't done any good. I'll tell you that right now.
He described the Equifax breach as profoundly troubling, and he called for more consumer protections against data theft.
More government laws ought to fix it. More regulations, more abuses of the people, more cost, more. Okay, it's bogus, Kurt. I'm telling you right now, it's just going to get worse. And if Mark doesn't listen to me, he's just going to be surprised. What was he, shocked, Kurt? Concerned? Surprised? What was the words that he used there?
Well, he was profoundly troubled, Sam.
Okay, you can expect a greater profound troubledness from this poor gentleman. He might end up in a psych ward, because I'm telling you, it's going to do nothing but continue. You want to know why, Kurt, I can be so confident in that?
Yeah.
Because we're putting more and more and more connections, more and more stuff online with reckless abandon, without any oversight, without any security measures in place. We talk about security, but it's not there. Let me give you an example. They said, oh, my gosh, your credit card's, you know, really a dangerous thing, Kurt. Let's update your credit card to one of those credit cards that take the chip, right? Have you heard about this?
Yes, I have.
So they basically cancel your credit card. They send you a new one with this, quote, chip in it that's supposed to be more secure, right?
That's what they said.
Okay, but half the places I go, they say, well, our chip part's not working. Just scan your card like normal, sir. Well, all it takes is one company to do that to breach the whole thing, right, Kurt?
I suppose so. See.
So how is that helping?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the whole thing's a flat-out fraud, and the only way to stop it, Kurt, is to go back to honest money. Hard gold and silver coinage that the founders made part of the supreme law of the land. There is no other way that we'll fix this. If you have fake money, you've committed fraud from the beginning, fiat currency, and then anytime you add more to the fiat, you know, Tower of Babel, if you will, then the worse it's going to get. Write it down. Remember who told you. The more fake money you create, the more fraud that'll be introduced into the fake money system. Kurt, isn't it an obvious reality check?
And by the way, Sam, you even probably have a suggestion on how to not have these Social Security numbers stolen.
All you got to do is shut down the Social Security Administration in the first place. It's an unconstitutional, weaponized agency against the people, pitting the young against the old in another fault line, intentional divide line that's created by nothing but thugs who want to destroy America. Shut that thing down now. To be clear, I wouldn't shut it down overnight.
Yeah, President Trump could even say, well, we've exposed the largest Ponzi scheme in the world.
Good point.
And we want to make sure that, you know, people are not, you know, having to deal with this.
But I wouldn't crash the plane, though.
That's right.
I wouldn't shut it down overnight. In other words, I would slowly but surely wind ourselves out of the program. It may take 5, 10, 15 years to get done. But you would sunset all provisions, for example. you would find ways to buy people out of the program, kind of like they do with folks in early retirements and companies. And you'd say, hey, you'd have a sliding scale. You know, those above, you know, say 55 are just going to get per normal. For 55 to 45, or, you know, these sliding scales every year gets a little more or a little less of a buyout, so to speak. Those who have been ripped off less, if you will. Those below 25 are just going to have to, sorry, you lost 5 years, but everybody else is taking a beating too. And you could wind our way out of this bogus system. But all I'm telling you is three senior executives just happened to sell their stocks in this big old cyber scandal. They didn't really know that it was going on. They just got out of the perfect time. The stock in the company is crashing for good reason, Kurt. And again, whether it's, you know, political carnage from elections and vote fraud, whether it's, you know, cyber fraud from credit card companies, or it's literally meltdown, hurricanes in Mexico, or, I'm sorry, earthquakes in Mexico, hurricanes everywhere. There seems to be destruction everywhere, Kurt. And it's because the people have turned their backs on God. And you can expect more of it. You want to heal the land? Then we got to turn to God and repent. It's that simple of a discussion. I know people get tired of me telling them that, but Kurt, we got to keep the solutions front and center.
Well, I guess, where else are you going to hear that, by the way?
Well, nowhere, you know? Hardly. There's a couple of people that'll tell you, Sam and Kurt and a few others.
Good
but,
point.
You know, I guess there's 47 what they call big name conservatives. They're in the news, Kurt, with a big warning, you say?
Well, that's right, Sam. It looks like, you know, these are big-name conservatives that are, well, they warn the media about SPLCs. That's the Poverty Boys at Southern Poverty Law Center. The guys with, you know, $300 million, you know, basically cash fund there. They warn them about what's called their hit list, and Bob Unruh is the author there. And these 47 are among, he says, the rudders of America's conservative movement. Names such as L. Brent Bozell, and Ed Meese of the Heritage Foundation, Tony Perkins there at the Family Research Council, William Boykin of the Family Research Council, Matt Staver of Liberty Council, Michael Ferris of Alliance Defending Freedom. They, he says, are the ones media seek out for comment on important issues of the day. Now they collectively are sending a message to the establishment media. Stop using the hit pieces from the Southern Poverty Law Center in your reporting.
Wow. But, Kurt, here's the problem. As long as the Southern Poverty Law Center is tied into Homeland Security, it ain't going to stop, buddy.
Great.
I'm telling
point,
you right now. Now, the MIAC report in Missouri came out and was attacking all Ron Paul supporters, saying they were a domestic threat to the country. Remember all that, folks? Don't be deceived here. Until the Donald shuts these groups down, it's going to do nothing but grow and become a terrorist weaponized agency against the people.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Getting advice from a teenager is a little unusual, but please listen to me. If you find yourself pregnant and you're scared, I've got some advice because I've been there. My boyfriend wasn't ready to be a father, and frankly, he wasn't all that interested after I told him I was pregnant. My friends told me I should keep the baby because it would be fun. Well, having a baby is about the baby. It's not about whether I have fun. Some people told me my parents would help take care of the baby, but my baby still wouldn't have both a mom and a dad of her own. And that's really important to me. After putting my feelings aside, I made the best decision I could for my baby. Not because I felt it was easy, but because I felt it was right.
Adoption. It's about love.
I didn't give my baby up. I gave her more.
A message from LDS Family Services.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I've mentioned in the Donald Trump administration one of the most important things we could do for America when we have control, supposedly by the Republicans of the House, the Senate, the White House, the courts, most governorships, and most state legislative bodies. One of the most important things we could do is stand for pro-life. Gorsuch on the court. We could get more Supreme Court leaders and more justices throughout the judicial system. We've got an opportunity of a lifetime. Donald, don't blow it, is the point. Some folks are taking the lead, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. And the headline from WDRB out of Louisville, Kentucky says, trial that will decide fate of Kentucky's last abortion clinic begins. And I guess they say Kentucky's one of seven states with just one abortion provider left. And in this trial in federal court, they're going to try to make it so that it's the first state without a clinic that performs abortions, baby killings. They say that Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin said what's the name of this surgical center. You don't really need that, but he says it's failing to meet state health regulations. They say the argument is over a transfer agreement. Those opposed say Bevin only wants to create more barriers for women seeking abortions. Wouldn't it be amazing if they said for women trying to kill their babies? This lately, the attorneys for Bevin, and the ones on the other side, the Planned Parenthood or, you know, the killing babies people, began to hash it out in court. The attorney with the ACLU said what's at stake is whether Kentucky becomes the first state where abortion is banned. The cabinet, they say, for Health and Family Services tried to take the clinic's license. Bevin, that's the governor there, remember, his administration told the clinic it was not meeting state health regulations requiring abortion clinics to have transfer agreements with local hospitals and ambulance services in cases of medical emergencies. State regulators said those conditions are safeguards that protect women's health. But the clinic argues the requirements are an unconstitutional barrier to abortion because they lack medical justification. So, you know, of course, the Constitution wants to protect abortion, of course. The doctor disputed the need for transfer agreements, saying complications during abortions are rare and are typically handled by the clinic staff. Stephen Pitt, an attorney for Bevin, that's the governor, said he's only interested in protecting the health and welfare of Kentucky women. Yeah, and I would add born and unborn. The governor and the secretary of the cabinet are attempting, they say, to enforce the law that requires for the safety of women for abortion clinics and other clinics to have transfer agreements with hospitals.
Now, by the way, while Matt Bevin and others are fighting against the huge pro-death mills, this trial will decide the fate of what they call Kentucky's last abortion clinic. So we've fought and we've shut down death mills all over the state of Kentucky. Now the epic battle's on in the courts. Time will tell. We've allowed the courts to become one of the strongest branches of government by literal judicial edict, by activist judges who need to be impeached. That was never intended by the founders, ladies and gentlemen. However, that's what's cooking. I say good for Matt Bevin and others who are fighting this fight, but at the national level, they're being betrayed, Kurt. Headline says, quote, betrayal. The GOP and the Democrats are now teaming up to fully fund Planned Parenthood. You literally got Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell drafting budget bills right now to completely fund the pro-death agenda of Planned Parenthood. So I appreciate Kentucky's stand. I wish that the United States, across the states, if you will, in other words, each state would join. Utah could be one of the leaders in this, but of course they're not pro-life enough. There's no real pro-life leadership in Utah to get this done, or other states, sadly. Kentucky taking the lead, good for them. Matt Bevin, governor, good for him. But they're being betrayed at the federal level, Kurt, by both sides of the aisle right now. They literally talked and talked and talked when we were electing the Republicans that they were going to shut down Planned Parenthood the first chance they got. Now they're turning right around, betraying us and funding the pro-death agenda of Planned Parenthood as we speak. Did you see that?
Yeah, well, I didn't see that the feds, you know, or that Congress was doing that, but I'm not surprised. It's just, you know, I mean, we look at the leadership, especially the kingmen there, Ryan and McConnell, and you just go, hey, man, they're certainly not the same kind of folks that I know that say they're good conservative Republicans.
Now, the House could and the Senate could just shut down these leaders and kick them out of office, but you know what? Every time they get a chance, Kurt, they retain them. Have you noticed that? When somebody decides to challenge their authority, pretty soon the House and the Senate just double down and shut down the, quote, rebels and leave these, in my opinion, betrayers in place. So there you have that. I don't even know how to respond to this, but I'm telling you right now, unless we move towards pro-life in America, Kurt, things are not going to get better. You're going to have more financial meltdown, more weather type meltdowns, more economic meltdowns, more trying to think what word to use for it, but there's just going to be more and more of a meltdown. You're going to have more agencies
more
against the people.
Devastation.
Like the hit list of the Southern Poverty Law Center, the hit list of Hillary Clinton, the hit list of big politicians, all in bed with the satanic weaponized IRS that's been used against the people for so long. And by the way, remember that flash in the pan that, hey, we're going to get to the bottom of the IRS thing? Have you heard a word about it since? See, this is what I'm talking about. We're not seeing any real change, Kurt. We're seeing little teeny things that are good. I can't deny some of them are good. But I don't see any real change. In fact, I just see the government running amok. And if you want to make a difference, you got to go back to honest money. If you want to make a difference, you got to shut down the Social Security Ponzi scheme. If you want to make a difference, you got to shut down government education. Oh, didn't they promise they'd get rid of the education department for literally decades? Where's that legislative reality check? They got to shut down Obamacare. You've got to dismantle 90% of the government, Kurt. And then they'll lie to you and tell you that I'm anti-government when the truth is I reject all unconstitutional government, but I triple down in support of the sacred supreme law of the land. In other words, I back complete constitutional government, complete with its checks and, or replete, I should say, with its checks and balances. I support that 1,000%. But then, see, they'll lie and tell you that I'm anti-government when I support the only proper role of limited government that should exist. I'm as pro-life as you can get, and I say until we really take on this pro-life issue appropriately, we will not see a change. You cannot murder the most innocent among you when the whole purpose of the government is to protect life, liberty, and property, and reject the pro-life agenda and expect to be okay with God, the author of our liberty. You'll never get it done. And I don't see real attention to or focus on becoming decidedly pro-life. Do you, Kurt? Do you really see like a sea change for that? I see good guys like Matt Bevin and others trying. And I commend them for trying. And I support them. That's why we cover this. But we got to have more of us. We got to lock arms in solidarity for this pro-life agenda, Kurt. And we got to call pro-death what it is.
Yeah, and he's in Kentucky where, you know, that's where McConnell and Rand Paul are from. So if we could just kind of switch out McConnell.
Amen. Because Rand Paul's doing all that he can, just like good old Matt Bevin.
I think so.
But where's Utah, though? Why is Utah not even on the radar with this, Kurt? We should be taking the lead, buddy. We're one of the most conservative states in the union. The Mormons are as pro-life as you can get, at least doctrinally speaking. I mean, come on. What gives here, Kurt?
It's a great point, Sam. They say Kentucky,
answer, huh?
Member, Well, remember how we said that it's one of the seven states that have only one clinic left? Well, the other ones are North Dakota, South Dakota, Missouri, Mississippi, Wyoming, and West Virginia. I guess we've got more than one here.
Well, when you say more than one what? I mean, they're all at
more
different...
than one abortion clinic. You know, these are the states with only one left.
But any of those other states could maybe, you know, eclipse Kentucky and shut it down.
Good point.
And take the lead. I mean, this could be like a what would you call it, Kurt? What's that apprentice or
pro,
you know, some of these reality TV shows? What if
breakout,
you just put the states,
you know,
on the reality TV show,
see who can, of women and children,
who can shut down pro death the fastest? Vote the pro death folks off the island, if you will.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, I'm not talking about any intentional destruction. I'm just talking about defund this and, you know what, be decidedly, unequivocally pro life. If you're not pro-life, liberty, and property, and if you don't look to God, what's the point of the United States government? Okay, I'm not trying to shut down government, but I'm trying to get people to clearly understand, look, if you're not going to look to God, you're going to look to government. What's the difference between the United States and any other government? The genius that set America apart and made it the economic engine of the world for literally centuries, the reality check that made America great was the idea that America was good. They had good, honest, moral people that believed in God and followed God's laws. And one of those laws are thou shalt not kill. And a backup law to that might be thou shalt not fund the killing under the guise or the deception of government making it legal. Okay, all I'm telling you is, wow. Anti-illegal immigration group now says Trump siding with George Soros. Did you see this, Kurt?
No.
Strange bedfellows in this. Let me try to get your arms around their claim. All right. I'm going to say it again so you get it. Anti-illegal immigration group says that Trump is siding with George Soros. DailyCaller.com has the piece. And I'm going to make you wait. I wanted to tease with that headline this hour, but I'm going to make you wait till next hour to break this down just for you, because you think, wait a minute, George Soros? I mean, he's like pro-abortion, right? I mean, pro-immigration, right? Well, he's both. But anyway, what gives of that? How is Donald, that's anti-immigration, teaming up with George Soros, that's pro-immigration? Well, they make strange bedfellows. It's a weird web they weave. I'll break it down for you. Hour one in the can. Hour two in the breakdown coming up. Liberty Roundtable Live on tap, always on demand, free. LibertyRoundtable.com. We declare, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. God save the Republic of the United States of America. We declare this nation shall endure.